May the last one burn into flames.
Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray on this Monday morning, where we, of course, a couple of weeks now into halfway into September. And that means that we not only are the kids back in school, but all of the post-secondary education facilities are back in action. We've had SAS Polytech on the show. We had the University of Saskatchewan on the show. Today is the day we connect with the University of Regina. Lots of different reasons to bring Dr. Jeff Keshen on, the president of the U of R. And I'm happy to have him by phone this morning. Dr. Keshen, thank you for taking the call.
My pleasure, Evan. Great to be here.
So let's start with this. I actually was thinking of you and President Stoychev in Saskatoon when that Charlie Kirk murder happened last week, being as it happened on a university campus in the United States. How does that leave you feeling as the head of a university, and is this something that causes you to make any sort of changes here?
Well, certainly it was tragic to see this happen. Interesting. I mean, I'm very familiar with Charlie Kirk. I used to watch a lot of his videos, and certainly he was provocative and he challenged people, and he was about challenging people in the realm of debate, but to have this happen at a university campus that is supposed to be a place where people debate things and debate them hopefully in a civil manner, and to have them targeted in this way is incredibly shocking. And I think that for the people who were there and across the country, it was horrifying. And the other thing is that the way it played out in social media, that is also shocking, that we live in a world where there seems to be right now no boundaries on what's shown publicly. And what people are discussing on social media, where these ideas they take root and they influence people, and they live in an echo chamber, and they build things up to where they don't see people who disagree with them as people they can learn from, but people that they end up feeling that they hate, and hate to the degree that they would take a rifle out and assassinate somebody. I mean, I'm not, you know, saying that I know the details of the case, and that, you know, it's an open and shut case, but clearly this is what has seemed to have happened, and that is really horrifying.
So when something like this happens, I mean, we've had discussions on the air certainly last week for a couple of days after this incident, and some people say that's the States, we're Canada, very different countries. Others are saying, listen, we are attached in so many ways that it is unavoidable to realize that we share similar problems. On that note, does this cause you worry as someone who is responsible for a university?
Yes, it does. We've had to manage some situations at the university. We're looking at our demographics. We've had to assess speakers coming in. And what is the, you know, we're not perfect in this regard. There are inconsistencies that take place about who we feel that is responsible to bring onto campus and who would cause perhaps a security risk. It was also very telling for me and very upsetting, I would say, that, as you know, and many of your listeners will know, we've had disputes with our student association over their stewardship of government. But a lot of this took place on social media, announcements that were came out in the just bins and in that world. But what really shocked me is the number of people who were commenting. It was brought to my attention that came up with some of the most vile commentary castigating international students. And you can imagine what was said. And they're not looked upon in any other way in that world, in the social media world, where people are untethered about what they can say, that you would think it's something out of the 19th century or the Klan. Like, it's horrid what we're seeing, that people are able to, as keyboard warriors, put out there in public discourse, and people feed off this stuff. And there doesn't seem to be any acceptance or sort of common understanding of what is reasonable opinion and what is fact anymore. That's the other thing which is really scary that's out there right now.
Dr. Jeff Keshen is my guest. So maybe that leads nicely into the next topic I wanted to chat with you about. There's a new report that came out from Fraser Institute saying many university students are afraid to voice their opinions in class, worried they could face consequences, they could face even lower grades for challenging what could be seen as the safe stance or the stance that the prof is taking on a certain issue. They broke it down by politically left versus politically right students, but just generally, is that a surprise to you that this report has been out, and what are your thoughts on it?
It's not a surprise to me. Universities have always been a place, I think, that have been very political. In years past, I know if you take this poll, if you took it 30 or 40 years ago, you would find that people on the political left would be fearful about speaking out. And I understand now that people who consider themselves conservative, that's what they feel. And I think there is some legitimacy to that. I know the political atmosphere has changed at universities. And I would be disingenuous if I was saying that people who are conservative feel comfortable about speaking out on a whole bunch of issues. What we try to do at a university, especially in the classroom, is to encourage that ability to have civil discourse. I mean, my word, if we can't actually engage in conversations with each other and learn from each other, especially at a university, then I think that we're failing in that regard. So while I recognize that, and also that's, quite frankly, you know, the proof is what who Charlie Kirk spoke to. We may disagree with Charlie Kirk. I of course disagree with a lot of the things that he has to say, but he did speak to a constituency, and he spoke to a constituency within a university, particularly in the States, but I would say that there's also parts of that in Canada as well that don't feel heard, and that they're saying that they don't feel comfortable bringing things up in the classroom. And I think that our responsibility is to create a space for these folks, and to all folks, that they can learn from and engage with each other in a way that is constructive. That's our responsibility, rather than simply denying the fact that they should feel comfortable saying that. Clearly they don't, and I think in a university we have to continue to strive to make all voices heard in a way that is not going to be threatening violence, that brings hate, but also brings forward ideas for to be contested with each other and learn from each other.
Dr. Jeff Keshen, president of the University of Regina, is my guest. So I guess the question is how do you make that happen? Knowing that, and you're right, Dr. Keshen, the report showed that right-leaning students report feeling less safe expressing their views than the left-leaning students in Canadian universities. So You've just laid out a reason, number one, an acknowledgement that that exists. Number two, reasons why it shouldn't. How as president, and it's the big question, can you ensure that all views are welcome and students won't be penalized on a report or a paper for expressing their views?
Well, I think that we have to be clear that at the universities in general, that that different views are welcome. They should be debated. We have to really emphasize that it takes place in the classroom and in public discourse as well. But I also think, and I know that you had to manage this situation as police chief, we also have to ensure that when these views are brought forward, they're done so in a way that doesn't target people, that doesn't promote hatred, that doesn't get us in a situation where we could potentially have a ruckus and we could have violence. So I still think that we have to work this out in many ways. We have to encourage it. But I also think that we have the bigger issue right now. And I don't have an answer for your listeners out there, but I'm absolutely convinced that social media has had a major part to play in this. My word, that we can have people on the internet saying the most vile things and encouraging conspiracy theories and encouraging alternative facts. And there's no check on this, that we need to do better in this regard. Maybe it's education on social media. Maybe it's responsibility of those who have the platforms. But that is a big part of what we're seeing right now, that these wars are not being fought in a face-to-face manner where people have to look at each other and engage with each other and see the humanity in each other, but they vilify each other behind the security of a keyboard. I think that's a big part of it, Evan.
Dr. Jeff Keshen, University of Regina is my guess. The last time we chatted, which was a while ago, I pointed out offline, we haven't chatted for a while on the program, but the last time we did, you had some concern about how the federal government was regulating international students and handing out student visas. Can you give us an update as we head into the 25-26 education period? What is that looking like? Are we still seeing a lower number of international students?
We are, and it has been, I'll choose this word actually very carefully, it's been disastrous as far as the post-secondary sector is concerned. I know that 2 years ago, things had got a little bit out of control. We had about 900 international students. Last year, we dipped to about 500 when the caps were put into place. This year, we have incoming only 168 new students, so the drop has been precipitous. And budgetarily, it's been hard-hitting at this point in time. The problem is that the caps are no longer the issue. So without getting into details with your listeners, we and most universities across the country can't even get near what our allotted caps are, which are 45% lower than 2023, because Canada's reputation abroad has been so hurt. That is due to the fact that international students believe that they won't be processed. We have had so many cases where students have been waiting in the queue with clear financial support, with meeting all the language requirements, but they're just sitting there, not being processed, so they're no longer applying to come to Canada. We used to be the number one destination. Now, as far as the polls are concerned that we've seen from groups like IDP Education, which deals with a number of countries, we've dropped to third or fourth, whereas we used to be a destination choice for about 20% of students as first choice. We're about 13% right now. So it has been hard hitting on the sector. We hope that by next year, IRCC, they don't have to raise their caps. You don't have to bring in more people on immigration, but just get the system to work as it's supposed to.
So what's caused that, Dr. Keshan? You talk about we've taken a hit, our reputation. What do you look at that you point to that's caused that?
I don't think that IRCC got clear directions about how to process the students. At the end of the Trudeau government, this is just supposition on my part. At the beginning of the Carney government, I think they were struggling about whether who they should process, how strict they should be. So it defaulted into endless delays in the processing of students. And the telltale of that has been that we've had this massive drop. And more than that, we've just had students who are waiting in the queue or they're no longer applying. I'm hoping that even though the Carney government has indicated that they have an austerity program in place for the federal government, and projections are that IRCC workforce, so we understand, will decrease 3,000 people over the next few years, that they still will be able to, if they get their machinery in place properly, process at least a decent number of students, so we're not dealing with a 70% drop, but we're actually operating within the cap and we can straighten ourselves up budgetarily if they just improve their processing of students. So that's my hope going into next year.
Does this hurt domestic entrance and tuition rates?
It doesn't. At this case, we've held, where the guidelines are with our in agreement with our provincial government on domestic tuition. But international students do pay. Our multiplier is at University of Regina lower than the norm across the country. We're a 3 multiplier. But those 4,000 international students that we took in, not only do they add, of course, the diversity in our campus and the global views and getting people to actually talk to each other and learn from each other relating to the last comments that we were talking about, but also they do, quite frankly, play a large budgetary role in the university. The provincial government's been great to deal with, but they have many demands on their funds, and they can't, understandably, make up for what's happened with federal policy when we at the University of Regina have seen about $10 million less revenue coming in tuition, coming in from last year. So, we've been able to hold on domestic tuition, but it means that we have to find money from somewhere to make up for that lost revenue.
Okay, I've got literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and I've got two topics. You signed an agreement yesterday with Métis Nation Saskatchewan. Can you just quickly touch on the importance of that?
Yeah, so Indigenous identification, we now have a protocol in place with the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan to ensure that when it comes to hiring that is Métis or scholarships that Métis, that is verified through the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan, which has a registry. So that's very important as part of our journey of reconciliation. So that was a great ceremony and a real step forward for our institution.
Last point, Dr. Keshen, I know you are a big supporter of university athletics. The Rams were literally one step away from the Vanier Cup last year, and I saw you in the heartbreak in the stadium when that game finished last fall. We know the Vanier Cup's in Regina this year. How are you feeling about the Rams?
Wouldn't that be utterly epic if we were hosting the Vanier Cup and the Rams were in there? They look great this year. I'm not going to jinx anything, and I'm eternally hopeful, and Coach McConkey ensures that I do not call any plays. I do text him from time to time, but I'm really pumped for this season, big time.
Dr. Keshen, always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Evan. Appreciate it.
President of the University of Regina, Dr. Jeff Keshen. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.